Silence!
Oppenheimer!
I think they're talking about us. No way.
I myself am strange and unusual.
This is Nerd Play Radio!
Nerd alert!
These nerds are a threat to our way of life.
See, this is the stuff that brings nerds together.
So it's sort of social. Demented and sad, but social, right?
If I'm interested in it, then by definition, it is nerdy.
Are you in loser denial or something?
I'm a nerd, and I'm pretty proud of it.
My dad's a nerd.
And welcome to episode 133 of Nerd Pride Radio. 133 is the number you call for the police in Austria, and according to my brother, Psalms 133 is the inspiration for most modern-day porn. Psalms 133, quote, "How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. It is like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down on the collar of his robe," end quote. Then my brother adds the commentary, "Meow, is it getting hot in here, or is it just Aaron's beard?" All right. Anyway, thank you, Kyle. Oh, no grueling research for me this week. Anyway, my name is Mike Jones. I lost my notes. I've completely lost them, and I don't remember how they go. Oh, wait, no. That's right. After the nerd commentary, ask me how I'm doing today. Go on. Ask me. I am awesome. My name is Mike Jones. I am a D&D/Pathfinder nerd, a history nerd, a sci-fi nerd, a comic book nerd, computer nerd, movie nerd, comic nerd, science nerd, gaming nerd. That's my son texting me. And plus, there's probably like seven other kinds of nerd I only wish I was nerdy enough to be. You are listening to Nerd Pride Radio, the place I go every week to haver on about all the nerd stuff that just won't fit in my head anymore. Oh, my co-host this week is, it's the community game night. Oh, I had so much fun. Wow. Oh, no, they should be my sponsor this week. I'm working without a script. Obviously, let's just go straight into meta talk. Oppenheimer. All right. I didn't record last night. Just things have just caught up to me and I just feel overwhelmed. Because like right now, the next thing I have to do after I get done here is I have to go fix the forums, which I finally come to the conclusion that the forums are never going to finish updating. They're just not going to happen. What happens is, all right, for those of you who don't know, the Nerd Pride Radio forums at nerdprideradio.com/forums have been broken for a while. Flaws here, flaws there. But, you know, all stuff that I felt like I could live with because I just didn't feel like doing the work of fixing it. But now new people can't register for the site, which sucks. People can't update their profiles, which also sucks. And so I'm using what's known as PHPBB. It's PHP Bulletin Board version 2. And so all I want to do is upgrade to version 3. And my web host has a nice, easy one-click option for installing version 3, no problem. And then version 3 comes with an automatic process that will just upload everything from version 2. Just bring it all over, and yeah, you'll have to go in and fix some of the permissions, and there's work to be done. But in general, all your users come over. You know, their names, their passwords, everything transfers, so they can just log in normally. All of your old boards, all the old tables with everything in it, all the posts, you lose nothing. It all comes over. All those titles. Yeah, we have, 400 titles listed in the rank file. You know, there's all sorts of the smileys, the everything, and it all just transfers over. Sadly, no, it doesn't. Not really. Which explains why, look, every time I've been on boards over the last, 15, 20 years, every time I've been on a really cool forum and they say, oh, it's time to upgrade the boards, and every time they think that they're going to be able to just transfer all the stuff over, and then every time they go, yeah, you know what? We're just starting over with blank boards. Here you go. This is why. It's because, boy, they have the tools. They say it's all going to work, and it just doesn't. I mean, I've tried 10 different ways to Sunday to make this sucker go, and it ain't going to happen. So later today, maybe just before or just after I release this, you guys will be seeing new forums going up, and they will be primitive, and it's going to take me a while to get all the graphics in and make it look all nerd bridey, but it will happen. And then that way new people can sign up, and all of you will have to come over and create new accounts, and I'm sorry to make you do that. But we're going to get it done, and I believe it's going to be at nerdprideradio.com/nerds, since forums is already used for the old broken forums. I'm going to leave those suckers there. I'm just going to lock them down, but then people can still go in and reference all the old threads, get all your old information. There's a lot of stuff we're going to have to transfer over for some of our games and that kind of stuff. So those will stay there, and they're not going anywhere. They'll just be locked. And then in the meantime, I'll have nerdprideradio.com/nerds as the new place for us to log in and get all of our stuff. And then new people will be able to join us. That's the other amazing thing. And so that'll be awesome. But anyway, because of that stuff, plus in the midst of doing this, I'm also trying to start my new Paranoia game, which I'm that close. You can't see how close together my fingers are, but they are super close together because I am that close to getting it launched. And probably would have this weekend if I hadn't spent how many hours working on those stupid forums that aren't going to transfer. I'm telling you, man, installing a new set of forums, it's literally one click and it says, okay, what location do you want it? Right here. All right. What's your admin name and password? There you go. And then within 2 minutes, it goes, okay, done. You've got new forums. Go. It's that simple. But again, I spent hours and hours and hours trying this conversion process and nothing worked. Although, you know what? I left it go last night. I finally went to bed at midnight-ish and I just let it go. And I thought, okay, I'm just not going to touch it at all. And now it's been over 12 hours. I haven't gone back to even see if it even did anything at all last night. I'm sure it didn't. You know what? Why don't I just check while I'm right here with you guys? Let's see what happens. Okay, nerdprideradio.com/nerds install. Okay, go to the convert tab. Yeah, it says there's still a conversion in process. You want to start a new conversion or just continue this old one? Well, let's continue. We've tried restarting a million times. Let's see what happens. And then it spins and then it spins and then it locks up and it tells me it is still on. Oh, wait, where is it? Well, it hasn't gone anywhere yet. Well, that's weird. I wonder what happens now. Huh. Oh, there it is. Okay. So mode, convert, tables. Yeah, see, it's still locked on table 16. Same thing. Okay, so yeah, brand new forms today. Sorry, shouldn't have wasted your time here. I'll get that done in a little bit. So anyway, with all that going on, I let all the pressure get to me, and last night I just didn't get the podcast recorded, and so I slept a little bit, finally. I got a good 8-9 hours of sleep, and I suddenly have a new perspective on life, and as soon as I sit down to the mic, I feel better. So this is going to be a good show. However, no prep work, no nothing. I've got my pocket mod open, and I've got stuff to talk about, and we'll just work straight off the paper here. So this is the time for what we would normally call the meticulously plotted portion of this podcast, the time for me when I haver on about whatever's been on my mind for the last week. If anything strikes me as interesting during the course of my busy, busy week, I add it to my master list here in this handy-dandy pocket mod, and then the best stuff off of this list is going to get spewed out all over you guys every week when I record. You lucky dogs. And yeah, I still call it meticulously plotted even when I'm just faking it like this. And that's the magic of it being my podcast and I can do whatever I want. So first off, I'm going to go with game night. All right. And this is, yeah, see, I'm telling you, flying by the seat of my pants. We're not even going to do the bumper music or anything. But here at my gaming table, now I've said gaming table, role-playing games, video games, card games, board games, any games. If it fits on my gaming table, I'm here to share it with you. Okay. Why do I have to be so completist about that? We had the community game night. I've been telling you guys it's been coming up, and sure enough, it's here. It is exactly what I would have wanted. All right. When I got done with Gen Con last year, immediately thought I need to be planning a community game night. I need to be getting something together. I told you guys I was wanting to do that, that I would work to make that happen. And we got as far as doing Eli's Boy Scout game night, which was awesome. But I never could find the time to do all the work it would take for a community game night. Well, it turns out that the people that put this on, it's a couple guys and their wives, and they were having this conversation saying, boy, you know, we should have a community game night, same way I was saying. And it occurred to them that, well, one of them, their wife, works at the the local art center down here. And the art center is always wanting to do community stuff. And they're like, well, why don't we just have it here? We got all the space. The art center will be happy to have people show up. Let's do it. And so that's what they did. And it's completely free. It's just an open community night. And we walked in with our big stack of games, and other people had tons of games, and there was a big table piled full of them. And we just played, and it was awesome. It was so awesome. I can't, in between sessions, you forget how cool it is to sit around with a bunch of adults and just get to play games. It was so nice. We wound up, it was me and Aiden and Eli and Noah. And Eli played about 2-3 hours, and he was having a great time. But finally, you know, for him, he was like, yeah, you know what? It's a little loud in here. I think I'm ready to be done. So, Aiden drove him home and came back. We only live a few blocks away. And then me and Aiden and Noah stayed there the rest of the night. Noah found other kids, his age, some a little older, some a little younger. He's 10. And, he was having such a great time bringing out some of our stuff and teaching these kids how to play our games. And then, he learned some new stuff from them, and they had a really good time. And then me and Aiden sat around with a bunch of other people and mostly played our own stuff. But, Aiden and I were playing, Flux. And if you've never played Flux, Flux is an awesome card game. It seems complex. If you walk up on a game of Flux, you're going to think, wow, this is absolutely crazy. I have no idea what these people are doing. But it's really the simplest thing in the world. It is a card game that only starts off with two rules. And there's a little card on the table that has all the rules on it. And your two rules are every turn, you draw one card and then you play one card and that's it. And then as you play cards, some of the cards will be new rules that explain that, okay, well, now this round, you know, from now on, now everybody draws two cards, but only plays one card. And so their hands will start to build up. Or eventually you have things like, you know, we've been in situations where, okay, every turn you have to draw five cards, but you only get to play two of them. Or you have to draw two cards and then play everything in your hand. Or, you know, it gets crazy. And then there's other rules, that, you know, if you have a higher score than other people, then you get to play an extra card. Or, you know, yes, you get to play multiple cards, but the first one has to be random. So the first thing that happens after you draw a card, the person next to you will then draw a random card out of your hand and throw it down, and that's the card you have to play. We love that card. That one's fun. And anyway, the game winds up, eventually you have cards that you'll play that put down goals that, oh, if you can meet this goal, you win. And it's almost never is it about trying to meet the goal. No, always it's about trying to find a goal card that meets a condition you already have. And a lot of times people have won completely by accident. Or people have been forced to let other people win because, well, that's just, you know, they're stuck playing this card. They can't help themselves. And then once they play the card, well, the other person now won. It is, Flux is so much fun. And so Aiden and I were just playing, just the two of us, just playing a head-to-head game of Flux. And we played like three hands of it. And eventually that's what drew other people in, that they had finally finished their other games on the other side of the room. And they came over and joined us. And so we played Flux forever. We taught somebody how to play Castle Panic. We broke out Guillotine. We had them's fighting words out for a little bit. And we just had a blast. It was a really good night. And so we played a little Small World. That was fun. And next time I'm hoping, because I still have not played Pandemic or Diplomacy since Christmas when I got the games. So I'm hoping that next time we can break those out. But anyway, Community Game Night, so much fun. If you have a chance, if you have a local place to go to just play board games, card games, whatever, go do it. It is so cool. So much fun, worth your time. And this one is once a month. Next one is actually the day before Aiden graduates high school. So therefore we're not going to make it to the next one. But we'll keep going after that. And like I say, so much fun. What else is on my master list in my handy dandy pocket mod? Yancey bought a donkey. Yancey is the guy who shares an office with me. And if you've been on my broken forums, you've already seen the picture of his donkey, under the title of, "Hey, check out Yancey's ass." And The only reason this donkey is relevant, he bought it for his sister. His sister lives in Missouri, and apparently she wanted to get a donkey for her grandkids because she's got a lot of land, and she wanted a donkey. And they're really expensive down there for whatever reason. And Yancey's like, really? God, I could pick one up dirt cheap up here, and we're going to come down and see you anyway. We'll get a trailer and bring it on down. So no big deal. And so he bought a donkey. And again, the only reason it's relevant is that he named his Don Quixote. Don Quixote. Oh, that's the best donkey name ever. And that's it. Okay, good. Cross that one off. All right, over at the Fantasy Movie League, which I've told you guys about many times, if you go over to fantasymovieleague.com, you can certainly sign up there and play. The goal is to you have 8 screens to fill and $1,000 to fill it with, and they price the movies each week based on how well they think they're going to do. And so you put 8 movies into your fake theater over there, and then see however much box office they get over the weekend. That's how much you score, and the contest is to see who can make the most money. And I'm not doing too bad, but it's not about the contest, the game itself this time. This week is about a project that got started over there for must-see movies. And the idea is, one of the guys, my former best friend in the world, Master 8, someone made a Kaiser Soze reference to him. And he went, I have no idea what that means. And everyone went, what, Usual Suspects? You've never seen Usual Suspects? And he's like, no, should I? And we all freaked out. We're like, you have to see The Usual Suspects. And so it got into a conversation about, what movies do people have to see? All right. And obviously the opinion is going to be different for everybody. But the idea is, if someone comes up to you and says, I've never seen that movie, what movie could they say they've never seen that will make you yell the loudest and say, oh my God, you've never seen that? You have to see that right now. All right. And for me, it's things like Groundhog's Day. It's Princess Bride. It's Usual Suspects. It's Die Hard. What, you've never seen Die Hard? Oh my God, you will love Die Hard. You know why? Because everybody loves Die Hard. You have to watch it. And so we thought, as a group, as a Fantasy Movie League community, could we come up with a list of maybe 50 movies that would be, these are the most important, the must-see movies that not just that they are good movies, and hopefully they are all good movies that are relatively timeless, that you don't need to have a cultural context to enjoy it. You don't need to, you don't need to understand its place in film history or any of this. You can just watch it and enjoy it as a movie. So hopefully they're all good movies in that sense, but also movies that are culturally relevant in that enough people have seen them and there are references and quotes and memes out there that once you've seen the movie, you go, oh, I get why that's funny now. Oh, I understand what's okay. That's why they would say that. That makes perfect sense. And so it's kind of this nebulous, this mix of criteria, but it's what we're going with. And it is fascinating to watch these numbers pile up as we've picked a bunch of, we've got like 500 movies on the list now, something like that. And to watch the movies pile up and see how people are rating them and see how many people have actually seen each of the movies in question. Cause we've got a team of about 20, 22 people. They're all in a private league, forum, set of forums is basically the league itself doesn't matter. We did it. So when you set up a league over there, it gives you a private area to chat. And so that's what we did. And so there's a couple dozen of us and we're putting them all together. And it's just fascinating to see the differences in especially generations, the differences in ages, to see how it goes. But, I think ultimately we're going to get a top 50 list. And I think that top 50 list may well include 3 Star Wars films on it, but we'll see how it pans out. Maybe not. But it is an interesting exercise. I mean, think about it. What movies, your top five movies that if someone told you they hadn't seen them, you would be A, most shocked and B, most eager to get them to go see that film because you know they would love it. You know they'd enjoy it. No matter who they are, you're pretty sure they're going to like it. Now, one of the odd things for me though is there's an attitude, that we're just having this discussion now. I haven't even responded to it yet. A couple people who have mentioned, like, we brought up Princess Bride, and someone said, yeah, you know what? I don't actually need to see Princess Bride. I mean, I've heard the references from it, and I pretty much understand what all of them are. And if I understand the references from a movie, well, then, yeah, I don't really need to see the movie itself, right? Like, well, you're not seeing the movie just to understand the references. You're also seeing it because Princess Bride is a wonderful movie. Princess Bride is a lot of fun. And, okay, yeah, granted, yeah, I was going to say the effects are a little dated, but the rodents of unusual size were dated when the movie came out. I mean, it was not a, yeah, this is not a special effects extravaganza. This is a simple fairy tale being told, from a grandfather to his grandson. That's what it is. And it is a beautiful movie. But it was the idea of, yeah, you know, look, I'm never going to watch Princess Bride, but I know what it's about, so it's fine. I'm like, wow, boy, that almost hurts my heart. Just the idea that then, yeah, to me, that's why we're doing a must-see movie list. There's a bunch of movies that I've never seen and I've never thought I wanted to see, but somebody I trust, somebody, you know, perhaps somebody from Fantasy Movie League, someone from my website, someone I trust has said, yeah, no, I know you've never watched it, but man, you really got to get off your ass. You really got to see this one. And, like Humongous did with me, to make me go watch a Kurosawa film. And ultimately I didn't wind up enjoying it, but I'm glad I watched it. I'm glad I did it. Because you know what? You tell me that I need to see it. Okay. I'll try and find time in my busy, busy schedule. But it's still worth seeing. Even if it's not ultimately my cup of tea, I'm glad I watched it. I'm glad and there's a reason people call them important. So, I mean, that was why Master's next response was, yeah, look, just because I've never seen Fight Club doesn't mean I don't know what Fight Club is. And he says, I'm never going to watch that movie. Like, wow, Masters. And I know you're listening right now, Master, seriously. Watch Fight Club. Why wouldn't you watch Fight Club? What, because it's 16 years old? That's nothing. Fight Club is a movie that you will enjoy. I mean, leave aside some of that. There's some 90s consumerist angst and the meaning of being a man and being a human being and blah, blah, blah. And even if you're not all into that, it's still a fun movie just for the ride. The fights, the action, the Fight Club's a darn good movie, man. You really need to watch it. I'm just taking my word for this. Boy, good film. So anyway, that's the project we're working on. I may have some more comment on it. I bring it up because I'm guessing we're going to start. I think we're just getting to the point where we're almost done voting. Maybe a few more days here this week. And anyway, we're almost done with kind of the voting ranking portion of this. And then we'll be down to the, okay, here's our top, you know, 75 films, or here's our top 100 films according to the rankings. Which ones do we actually want on our list? Because, you know, there's, you know, you would think that, hey, everyone's ranked them. Let's just cut it off. When we get to top 50, boom, there you go. But, I think just going straight by ratings is going to be a little inadequate, that there will be some movies like, somehow Return of the Jedi keeps ranking high. Jedi. Seriously. I don't know what the love is for Jedi. It was the weakest of the original trilogy, right? I mean, I'm not crazy about this. Star Wars was beautiful and classic and stood all by itself. And then Empire was a truly great movie, even as a sequel, but it was just a truly great movie on its own. And everyone talks about Empire as being the greatest of the Star Wars films. But Jedi, I mean, yeah, Jedi wrapped it all up for us and gave us our happy ending. And oh, it gave us Ewoks. But I mean, Jedi was a little pandering, right? I mean, that was Lucas, you know, getting us prepared for the idea that he may one day make Jar Jar Binks, right? So, Jedi, I mean, I enjoyed it. I had fun watching it, but a classic, a must see. Look, if you've watched Star Wars and Empire and then you feel that you want to go see the conclusion of that trilogy, you'll go see it. I don't feel like I have to tell you, you must see that one. But we'll see. Anyway, so that's the kind of debate we're going to have coming up, is that, all right, we've got it narrowed down to here's a group of movies that rank near the top. And now out of those, are there some of them that we can kind of drop out of there because they have because there are other very similar movies that, hey, look, if you're already in this genre, if you already see this, you get the idea. Are there ones that just no matter how carefully we try and create our system, that maybe there's things that slip through the rankings that just didn't show up on the list and really should have, or didn't rank high enough and really should have? We'll be talking about that. So, I don't know if you guys just heard. I mean, yes, you heard my phone going off telling me I have yet more messages. But, wait. Star-Lord and Thor confirmed for Avengers Infinity War. Jacob is very happy. That's breaking news for you guys, because I hadn't heard that yet. But also, in addition to my phone beeping, I don't know if you guys heard, there was a guinea pig that just sneezed. And that's kind of troublesome. And which guinea pig, you ask? Well, that would be Alice. All right. Alice is, yeah, see, there she goes again. Oh, that's not good. Because I have tragic news. One of our guinea pigs died. Cheshire. Yeah, Cheshire and Alice. Those are the names of our guinea pigs. My children think they are very clever, and it turns out they are. Cheshire just came home the other day, and I went to make sure they had food and water, and I noticed that Alice was out and Cheshire was not. And usually when someone comes over to their cage, they come check it out. And so lifted up, and sure enough, Cheshire had passed away on us. So, very sad. And well, but no one was as broken up as you think you might be over a pet. Just, you know, it's a guinea pig. She was old. It happens. And she wasn't even, I remember, not even like she was sick beforehand. We didn't have any warning sign or anything this time. Just one day she was dead. But now Alice, and that was 4 or 5 days ago, Alice has been fine ever since then, but now she just sneezed a couple of times in the last few minutes. So, boy, fingers crossed. I hope she's okay. Boy, that would be sad. All right. Anyway. Oh, and did you know that was it Sweden or was it Switzerland? It was one of those S countries in Europe. One of them, I just got this fact from No Such Thing as a Fish podcast, and they said that in whichever country it was, I think Sweden. No, Switzerland. No, it was one of those two. And by the way, to my Swedish listeners, it is not that I can mix up the two countries that easily. Obviously, Sweden and Switzerland are two very, very different nations with very, very different histories and very, very different people. It's not that. It's just that they both start with S. At least in English, they do. They both start with S. And so, therefore, when I remember, I go, oh, yeah, yeah, an S country in Europe. Darn it. Which one was that? Sorry for forgetting, because, you know, no insult to your Nordic heritage if you're one of my Swedish listeners. So, Zimny. And anyway, but whichever country it is, passed a law that said that you are not allowed to own just one guinea pig. Because guinea pigs are social animals, and when they're by themselves, they get very, very lonely. And therefore, it would be cruel and unusual to keep one guinea pig by itself. It needs to have a companion. That was the way their law was written. God, I think it was Switzerland. Anyway, and so the question that immediately asks is, so how do you ever stop having guinea pigs? Good Lord, with this phone. I'm just going to put it on silent. So let's go with, there we go, and buzzy, buzzy. There we go, silent. So if you're not allowed to own just one guinea pig, one of your guinea pigs dies, you are now stuck with one guinea pig. What do? You have to buy another guinea pig? Because if you buy another, you could just give away the other guinea pig. You know, sell it to somebody, give it away to somebody who has guinea pigs already. But, you know, what if it's a beloved pet and you don't want to give up your beloved pet? You want to keep them. So now are you required to go out and buy another guinea pig? So that this one has company. And now when this one dies, well, now you've got the new one you just bought and you have to, it's a vicious guinea pig cycle, right? No, the solution is if your guinea pig dies and you don't want to give up the other one, this nation now has numerous guinea pig rental services where you can go out and rent a guinea pig until the one that you have dies, and then you give the rental back. There you go. Just crazy, but it would seem if you're going to have a law about guinea pigs like that, then I suppose that would be the natural natural outgrowth of that, right? All right. Where else am I? We did Game Night. We did Must See Movies, Don Quixote. And that makes, oh, hey, all right. I talked about, the Trinity last week in Catholic faith because on the Podomatic, Kyle asked, oh, what the heck's up with the Trinity? And so I answered to the best of my ability. And by random coincidence, we go to religious formation classes with our kids this week. And this month happens to be all about the Trinity. And not only is it all about the Trinity, but they even brought in a guest speaker, a nun, Sister Inviolata, and, Sister Inviolata, who is from Kenya, and she wound up, she was actually sitting at my table when I first got there. And so I got to socialize with her for a while, before I realized she was actually our guest speaker. She was very funny. And so Sister Inviolata gets up and does a presentation on the Trinity. And the whole time, my wife and I are looking at each other going, wow, it's like it's fate. Kyle just asked about this, and now we actually get real answers. So, the short version, because I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on it, but the short version is it's a mystery. Okay. The slightly less short version is, the concept of the Trinity was, given to us, by Jesus himself in the Bible, where he says that you will do this in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Those were his words. And so therefore we have those three aspects. And there are other sources that build on that. Okay. So the understanding, according to the Catholic Church today, is that the three aspects of the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the three aspects of the Holy Trinity are three persons, each of which fully embody the same God. They are consubstantial, meaning they are made of exactly the same substance. They are, all three of them, fully God, while also being three separate persons. That's as far as I got. Okay. And they give some stuff about, they talk about how, Father represents the God the Father is the creator of all things. God the Son is actually the Word of God, the teachings of God. And, God the Holy Spirit would be then, God's love, God's inspiration, God's, and anyway, the lesson to be learned is that, even Saint Augustine, who spent 30 years developing his master treatise on the Holy Trinity, finally got to the end and went, oh, it's too big for mortal minds to comprehend. Therefore, we'll never understand exactly what's going on. But here's my best representation. So does that make anything any clearer for you? I don't know if it does for me or not. But that was what they were talking about this week, because apparently they listened to the podcast and said, you know what we need to do? Mike obviously is having trouble with this. We should really restructure all of our lessons for the next month just so that he can answer this Podomatic question. And I appreciate them doing that. And also, just as a side note, Sister Inviolata said the word dogma a lot, which is, you know, she's Kenyan and English is her second language. And so, she used the word dogma a lot, which is not a word that most people, when they're referring to most people within the church, when they're referring to church teachings don't usually refer to it as dogma because it has some negative connotations. But she did all the time because she's just using it in its original sense. And therefore there's no stigma on the word for her. But the more she said it, the more it reminded me that, man, I really love the movie Dogma. Wow, that thing was great. I need to go watch that again this weekend. I really do. Man, I hope I find time for that. I love the movie Dogma. All right. Let's see. Back to the gaming table. Still playing our Deadpool. This is the craziest year ever for the Deadpool. Not the movie superhero Deadpool, no. The actual Nerd Pride Radio, what are we up to, our 10th annual Deadpool, where we each pick a list of 10 celebrities, and if one of your celebrities dies during the course of the year, you get points based on how old they were. Whoever has the most points at the end of the year wins. And this year, my wife is already up to 119 points, which, if you've never played in our Deadpool, you don't know, but that's crazy high. That is so many points. because she had Joey Feek died, who was in her 40s, or maybe she was 40, and then country music singer Joey Feek. And then she also had Rob Ford die. Rob Ford, the gun-toting, crack-smoking, whoring, swearing, gambling, drinking, meth addict, mayor of Toronto. Well, ex-mayor of Toronto, obviously, now. That was, I guess, not so much of a surprise, but he was also in his 40s. And so my wife has so many points that she's just uncatchable. And she even has Glenn Campbell on her list, who, Glenn Campbell, we keep getting news reports about how he's in his final days, and, oh, this is the last stage of Alzheimer's, and, oh, he's not long for this world. If Glenn Campbell goes, 149, untouchable. So what does that mean for the rest of us? Because there's been a lot of deaths this year, and we've got like 5 people on the board now, which is unusual this early in the year. What it means is, everybody big on my list, like Stephen Hawking, who I hope you're not a big fan of Stephen Hawking, because I think this is going to be the end for him. I think, because here's the deal. I've been holding on to Stephen Hawking for years. All right. He's been my legacy pick. Every year I get to keep one celebrity over from last year. And every year for me, it's Stephen Hawking, because the man has, I love Stephen Hawking. I have a lot of respect for him. I think he's a great man. I am thankful for his contributions to science and to pop culture and entertainment and everything else. Wonderful dude. But he also has outlived the expected lifespan for this, for his condition. He's outlived that expected lifespan by like 40 years. Okay? The man just keeps going. And so it just, you know, again, I don't want to see him dead. I really don't. But, you know, the odds are it's bound to happen sooner or later. And so I've been holding on to him forever. And now what's going to happen? Yeah, he's going to die this year. He's going to die in 2016 when the points will do me no good whatsoever. I'll wind up getting 40 points for Stephen Hawking, and it will mean nothing because my wife is uncatchable this year. Oh, crazy. Crazy. So, anyway, Deadpool has actually been, the most exciting it's ever been. I mean, now again, now that my wife is so far out in the lead, kind of takes some of the drama out of the rest of the year, but man, there's been a lot going on with it. So, interesting, fascinating. And what else is here? Oh, I should have said this while I was talking about must-see movies. The movie Airplane. All right. Airplane is another must-see movie for me. That is one that is absolutely timeless. One, there's lots of references from it that still get used all the time. Yeah, don't call me Shirley. There's all sorts of stuff out of Airplane that is still current and relevant today. And the movie is absolutely watchable now. 40 years later, it is still a good movie. Even if you have never seen it before, know nothing about it, you have no context for this film, it's still a good movie. Because I mean, when we watched it a couple years ago, I mean, Noah was 8. Noah loved that movie. I mean, 8-year-old loves Airplanes, surprise. But the teenagers loved it. Eli loved it. This is, the humor holds up really, really well. All right? The humor stands the test of time, which is really amazing for a comedy. It is really cool. And so, Airplane's awesome. All right. But the important thing about Airplane is I've always known that Airplane is a send-up of the movie Airport. All right, I've just never seen Airport. In fact, Airport, all I remember is from when I was a little kid, I remember commercials on TV for Airport in which an airplane drives through the, or winds up, the airplane winds up crashing into the terminal. But even that, I can't remember if that was for Airport or if that was for, you know, Airport 79 or whatever the later versions of the thing were called. I have no idea. But I don't know anything about Airport. So as we're looking at must-see movies, Yancey pulls out his phone and shows me a trailer. He's showing me trailers for various movies, and he gets to a trailer for Airport, and he shows it to me. I've never seen the trailer for Airport. Go right now. Stop what you're doing before I continue speaking. Honestly, pause this. Go somewhere that you can look at YouTube and pull up Airport movie trailer, Airport original movie trailer, whatever it is you need to look up on YouTube to find the original Airport trailer. Go on, I'll wait. Okay, you guys ready now? All right, here we go. Was that not amazing? Was that not crazy? I couldn't watch it. I watched it all the way through. But as in, I'm watching it going, I could never watch the movie Airport. I can't see it because Airplane was hysterical. Airplane was really funny. And even never having seen Airport, I've watched Airplane a million times and I've always loved it and thought it was hysterical. It's even funnier now that I saw that trailer because as I'm watching the trailer, I recognize the characters. You can see in the trailer who they're mocking in Airplane when they do that bit. You can see just from the trailer going, oh, I get that. Oh, look at that. It even looks like Morningstar. Oh my God, that's crazy. Crazy. And so I wound up watching the Airport trailer laughing my ass off because I couldn't help it. I'm like, oh, that's where they got that character from. I get it now. And which I didn't even need to know that to enjoy Airplane, but having seen it now, oh, that's bizarre. That was just really weird. So I also didn't realize that the plot of Airport is very, very similar to, you know, what there is of a plot in Airplane. It's just wild. So. Yeah, go enjoy that. That's funny, right? All right. Anyway, we're done with the meticulously plotted portion of the podcast. Phew. Now it's time for the Pod-O-Matic. Oh, that's right. I forgot to turn them back on, didn't I? Oh, hold on, R2. There you go. Ready? Pod-O-Matic. Hot dog. This is the Nerd Pride Radio Pod-O-Matic. At the end of every cast, I bring out R2 and his fully pimped out Pod-O-Matic bubble, and he rolls up random topics for me to talk about. And where do these topics come from, you ask? Well, that is where you come in. You want to hear me haver on about something? You send your question or topic to me by email, or better yet, in a private message on my new forums when I actually have them done at nerdprideradio.com/nerds, maybe? All right. And you send it to me, I will add it to my Pod-O-Matic list. Pod-O-Matic is about whatever you want it to be. And my first one is number 9. Let's see where that is. Oh, and in case you're not familiar with Pod-O-Matic, if you're new to the podcast for whatever reason, as I just said, people submit questions, topics to me, and everything I get, I just put into a big list. Every week I sort that list randomly, and the first 100 of them wind up being on the Pod-O-Matic list for the week. And then R2, in his fully pimped out Pod-O-Matic bubble, he's got percentile dice inside of him. I replace the dice, and he rolls up a number from 1 to 100. We look it up on the table, and that's the topic I talk about. So the first one, speaking of Swedish listeners, the first one is from Zimny, and Zimny says, in the Pixar movie Inside Out, I can already see this being a difficult question. In the Pixar movie Inside Out, each person is controlled by the emotions joy, sadness, fear, disgust, anger. You must pick one of these to remove from your life. Which one do you pick, and how does it change your life? Yes, I was right. It is a difficult question. Because, all right, obviously I like my joy. And I think, well, actually, maybe it's not as tough as all that. I think I'd remove disgust. I think based on disgust's role in the movie, disgust is the one that makes you apply peer pressure to other people. Disgust is the one that makes you worry about what other people think about you. I can live without that. I mean, obviously, look, it wouldn't be perfect. But I'm already a pretty cool customer when it comes to worrying about what other people think about me. But not only would it, make me even more laid back about being such an awesome, awesome nerd and being proud of everything I do, and trying to instill that sense in others, but also without my disgust, I wouldn't be such a picky eater. You guys have heard me complain a million times about what a picky eater I am and how it's not the taste, it's the texture. It's just weird. I don't know what's wrong with me. But there's lots of foods that I can't eat, and I wish I could, but I can't. And now, without disgust, I would have the capacity for eating a lot healthier. I don't know if I'd have the willpower. I don't know if I'd actually do it, but I would have a much wider range of healthy options to choose from when I tried to eat healthier. That's a good thing. All right. See, nothing but good getting rid of disgust. Where would be the danger in getting rid of disgust? I've already got fear, so, you know, if there's dangerous situations, I've got fear to cover that one for me. I certainly think you need your sadness and your anger, because those are completely justified. But disgust just seems to lead to judgment and issues. I don't need that. I can do without that one. All right, here we go. 39 is from Mrs. Darks, and she says, "What is your favorite Tim Curry movie?" And then in parentheses, she says, "My guess for you is Clue." Wow, you are so wrong. Don't get me wrong. I like Clue. I think Clue is a fun movie. I really enjoy that film. And I think Tim Curry is very good at it. But I like Tim Curry in lots of things. No, my favorite Tim Curry movie is Rocky Horror Picture Show. I love Rocky Horror Picture Show. I was introduced to it my first year of college. Back when I was in high school and college, the mall in Omaha, well, one of the malls in Omaha, Westroads Mall in Omaha, ran every weekend, midnight showings of Rocky Horror Picture Show. And they had a cult following, just like, you know, every other theater that regularly showed Rocky Horror. And I had some friends drag me to Rocky Horror, like I say, first year of college. And it was spectacular. Again, this was a mall movie theater, and they were doing special midnight showings just for this movie, and they were letting people go crazy in there. It was throwing rice and throwing toast, and some people dressed up, and everybody knew all the lines, and it was filthy, and it was so full of in-jokes, and it was just glorious. It was a really fun time. And so, as a result, I didn't go often. I think I went 3 times to the midnight showings there. And then I've seen Rocky Horror. You know, they had a special showing on campus one time. And, I've seen one later showing. So maybe 5 times total I've seen it at a public viewing of Rocky Horror. And I wish it had been more. And now, man, you got to keep your eyes open and watch, for when it comes around, because there's still theaters that will regularly show it. You know, once a year, twice a year, they'll show it, but you gotta keep your eyes open for it anymore. And I would love to take my grown-up children to go see Rocky Horror, because I think they'd have a great time. I think they and their friends, because they know enough about it, they've heard enough about it, that they get what it's supposed to be. And I think at 18, 19, 20, I think they're just the right age to really just have a good time and let loose with it. I think it would be a lot of fun. I love Rocky Horror. But even that, while being my favorite Tim Curry movie, is not my favorite Tim Curry role. My favorite Tim Curry role is Nigel Thornberry. I love Tim Curry as Nigel Thornberry. The first time I saw The Wild Thornberries, the first time I heard Nigel's voice, I'm like, oh my God, is that Tim Curry? And I look it up, and sure enough, it's Tim Curry. And I just love him in that role. I think he's hysterical. Every word that comes out of his mouth to me makes me laugh. It's smashing. Just fun. So, I'm a Tim Curry fan, as much as you can be a Tim Curry fan, because, you know, his movie repertoire is not huge. But he's had his roles and he's been out there, and you'll see him do bit parts, and especially see him do voices. And, I always appreciate Tim Curry in anything. Even if it's absolute crap like It. I'm not a big fan of, the It movie. But I do like him as, what's the clown's name? Pennyworth? Moneypenny? That's obviously not Moneypenny. Doesn't make any difference. I like him as the clown from It. So, yeah, I like Tim Curry. 89 comes from, hey, it's from Lisa. Lisa says, I saw this on Facebook, and I thought it was a good question. Would a Jedi be able to pick up Thor's hammer using the Force? Okay, I love Thor's hammer questions, because there's never a time when you ask a question about who can and can't pick up Thor's hammer, there's never a time that doesn't jog all sorts of awesome conversation around it. You know, for example, when you talk about Hulk picking up Thor's hammer, when you talk about, okay, well, what if you just cut out the ground around it and then Thor or Hulk just picks up the hammer and all of the ground that's attached to it? Will it come up with that? What if you're in an elevator and you're traveling down and you're look, when they were in Age of Ultron and they're joshing around at the party and they're having their, you know, little back and forth and whatever it is, whichever scene it was where they all try and pick up the hammer and Captain America, I mean, like, it just jiggled. It, like, he didn't pick it up. He couldn't lift it. But, man, if any mere mortal could pick up that hammer, Steve Rogers would be the guy, right? And so just enough to jiggle. And then the reaction shot from Thor to watch him sweating it because, boy, if anyone could pick up this hammer, it would be Steve Rogers. I thought it was a beautiful little scene. It made me laugh, and it was really, really cute. So, all right, but the question is, can a Jedi pick up Thor's hammer using the Force? And I think the simplest answer is yes, if they're truly worthy. I don't believe using the Force allows you to circumvent any of the rules about lifting Thor's hammer. So, again, only if they were judged worthy. And, you know, in the whole time of this hammer, I have no idea how many people have actually been judged worthy by the hammer in the course of the comics. I'm going to guess, you know, I know there's, obviously the original Thor, there's Beta Ray Bill, there's, the new female Thor, and I'm going to guess that over the years that there's been maybe as many as 11 or 12. So it's not a huge club of people who can pick up the hammer. So even though most Jedi are pretty good people, Jedi are flawed. I mean, they're as prone to fall in the way of the dark side as anybody else in the world, right? I'm going to guess it's a rare Jedi who has the purity of soul, the whatever noble quality it is the hammer is looking for, that could actually pick it up. And yes, if they were worthy, then certainly they could pick it up by hand, or they could use the Force, or however they wanted to manipulate that hammer, they could do so at that point. But it all still depends on their worthiness. 81. Don't have to roll far. It's from Mrs. Darks again. And Mrs. Darks says, I occasionally enjoy literal music videos. Do you? I have seen several literal music videos. And yes, I enjoy them. Rename the following games to literal yet concise titles. Oh, all right. This is going to be tough because I don't do well with creativity on the fly like this, but I will try. All right. The three games in question are Dominion, Munchkin, and Apples to Apples. All right. I will do my best here. Okay. Dominion, I have the least experience with, but an appropriate literal title for Dominion, recycling cards for coins. That's really what it felt like. And I loved playing Dominion, had a great time, but regardless of what the titles are and the explanations of them, the in-game understanding of what it is, I mean, it's essentially you've got these cards and you just keep recycling cards back through your deck to get ever larger and larger numbers of coins to pop out of them. But that was Dominion. Munchkin is, Munchkin's the one I have the most experience with and maybe the hardest for me to sum up. Munchkin. Oh boy. This is a tough one for me. I'm trying to compose and yet not leave you guys hanging while my brain is working. I could probably pause. That would be a smarter way to handle this, but I'm going to do this on the fly. All right. Munchkin. Kill the monster, steal the loot, stab your friends in the back, but mostly stab your friends in the back. In fact, yeah, just screw over your friends. Screw the rest of it. Maybe that's a little too windy. Maybe. All right. Apples to Apples. Guess what grandma thinks is funny. That's really the key to winning at Apples to Apples, just like the key to winning at Cards Against Humanity, because they're the same game, is figuring out what each person at the table thinks is funny. There's a lot of them that I think are funny. But man, you gotta figure out the person who's judging. For example, the last time we played Cards Against Humanity, my wife won easily. She blew us all out of the water on that game. And afterwards she said, well, yeah, you know, look, with my brother, she said, if I had any card in my hand that had a drug reference on it for whatever reason, I would save it until his turn. And then you throw out anything with a drug reference and he's going to pick that one because he thinks that's really, really funny every single time. I'm like, oh my God, you're right. I can't believe I never saw that. So yeah, honestly, apples to apples, figure out what grandma thinks is funny. You got that one down. If you can win grandma's card every single time, you know, you're doing well. All right. Maybe that was not as funny as it should have been, but hey, you put me on the spot. Last one, 86. Man, we're just going to keep it all right here. 86 is, it's from Talvin, and Talvin says, it's an Avengers F. Mary Kill. F. Mary Kill, I get three choices, and I then have to pick one of them for the F, the Wild Night of Passion, One Night Stand. Marry one of them I have to marry and stay with for the rest of my life, and then kill one of them I have to do away with. So my Avengers F. Mary Kill is Iron Man, Thor, and Captain America. Oh, not even a challenge, Talvin. I am going to kill Tony Stark. I know, fabulously wealthy, but also an asshole. While he might be good for the Wild Night of Passion, you know, he is Robert Downey Jr. after all, dashing, charming, really good looking, but oh man, he's an asshole. Oh God. Even when he's a good guy, he's an asshole. So I'm going to kill Tony Stark. And that leaves me with Thor and Captain America. And if you know anything about me, you know that I will stay married to Captain America for the rest of my life because, I idolize Captain America. He's the greatest superhero ever. I love Captain America. That man, he stands for everything that is right about this country and this world. I love Captain America. I will marry him and stay with him forever. So that only leaves me Thor, to sleep with. And, okay, who wouldn't want to sleep with Thor? Have you seen those eyes? That long blonde hair? He is dreamy. Oh, man. Have you seen him with his shirt off? Come on, what's not to like? That was an easy one. All right, you know what? We're not even an hour yet. We'll do one last one, and then we'll get some credits. 04. We will go all the way to the top of the list. And maybe. There it is. 04 is from Kyle. And Kyle says, I'm getting sick of outrage culture. Oh, tell me about it. And am now fully subscribing to the Mike Jones, Chris Hardwick positivity vibe. Is there going to be an end to outrage culture? Is this just another growing pain of people using social media en masse? Boy, I don't know. We're stuck right in the middle of it, and it is hard to see an end to outrage culture because it's not just social media, although social media plays into it, is the people who are using social media and mass media and now have the science and the calculations, the planning and forethought to know how to utilize outrage, to encourage it and build on it because outrage gets views. Outrage gets eyes on your product. Outrage makes you money. That's the saddest part, is that until we have a system in which outrage does not make more money than not outrage, we're going to keep seeing exactly what we're seeing. And until we have a society, okay, or maybe if we have a society that is not motivated by money in the way that ours is. But as long as we have a culture driven by the flow of cash, and as long as outrage gathers more advertising dollars than anything else, we're going to continue seeing outrage culture exactly the way it is. And we as a group of consumers can make a concerted effort and should make a concerted effort to not be dicks to people. Even when something upsets you and you are outraged about it, your first step is really, your first step should be examining the other side and figuring out why they feel the way they do. And not just attacking them because they're assholes and idiots, but rather addressing the part of them, the part of their viewpoint that leads them to that conclusion, that leads them to that behavior, and understanding why they feel outraged or why they feel threatened or why they feel hurt, and dealing with that. We make, as consumers, as human beings, we make a concerted effort to not put as much negativity out there as the rest of the world is doing. We make a positive effort to don't be a dick. Thank you, Will Wheaton. We make a positive effort to not give our views and our clicks and our eyes to outrage culture. I mean, this is one of the hardest parts is make a commitment. You know, when you're on Facebook, when you're on Twitter, when you're on any social media or any media that has ads based on your viewing habits, don't click on anything that says sponsored. Don't ever view anything that says sponsored, because I know they're getting really good. They know what you like. Even if you never click on a sponsored ad, they know exactly what you like. They know exactly what makes you click on something, and they will show you the ads most likely to draw you in and make you go, yeah, all right, I guess I have to see top 12 plastic surgery disasters. I mean, look, just out of curiosity's sake, and not because I give a crap about the top 12 plastic surgery disasters, but only because that photo, I have to see what that photo is all about. Boy, that is really confusing. It turns out the photo has absolutely nothing to do with the article. Or whatever it is that lures you in, all right? You know, whether it's you know, Photoshop errors or oh, you have got to see what these cute kids are doing, or you have to, you know, whether it's kittens or puppies or whatever it is that trips your trigger, don't click on the sponsored ads, because the sponsored ads are all part of that same thing, drawing us into the freak show, and we need to avoid that. And you know what makes the process even harder? Your friends. Because see, some of your friends are going to click on that clickbait stuff. That's what clickbait is there for. And then some of them are going to like it so well that they're going to share some of it. And so when I look at something that a friend of mine has shared, and it's very clearly a sponsored ad that they liked well enough to share, now I have to judge my friend and go, okay, yeah, it's a sponsored ad that they shared, but is this the kind of person who is intelligent enough that I trust their judgment? Or is this one of those friends that is constantly passing along dumb stuff, and maybe it's best to just stay away? Oh, man, they're going to suck you in. So anyway, my point is, I also hate outrage culture, and I don't see an end to it anytime soon, because there is money to be made out of outrage, and it's just going to keep happening. And all we can do is resist it. All we can do is try not to feed into it and try to be reasonable about our discussions and debates in our lives, and try to discourage people from following that same route. But man, it is tough. It is an overwhelming force at this moment. And yeah, eventually it has to end someday. But I mean, outrage has always been there, and mindless outrage has always worked better than logical rebuttal. I mean, you know, it's not like this is something new. It's just more powerful than it's ever been, because it has such a strong voice. Something can get picked up and carried away and spread so easily. That it's rough. So I don't know if it's going anywhere, but I hope that we as a community of reasonable human beings can resist it and try not to feed into the hate. I mean, honestly. But okay, enough of that. You know what it's time for? It's time for me to end the Podomatic and bring out GLaDOS so she can give us a recap of this week's episode.
Remember when the platform was sliding into the fire pit and I said goodbye, and you were like,
no way.
And then I was all, we pretended we were going to murder you.
That was great.
This podcast is copyright 2016 by Nerd Pride Radio. The opening and closing theme is Death Metal Disco by Ian Kronk, which my buddy Kaz just went out and found the actual full song of Death Metal Disco by Ian Kronk, which is out on archives somewhere. It's whatever the copyright is on it. It's basically, it's free to use as long as you give him attribution, which I do, because I greatly appreciate it, because the song fits perfectly. And so Kaz found it and gave me a link to the original, and I'm like, oh yeah, I forgot. There's a whole song and not just the part that I use in my credits. It was really kind of nostalgic to hear it go on because there's a lot more to it. It's really kind of cool. But anyway, that's Death Metal Disco by Ian Kronk. I didn't use any bumper music this week because I didn't plan anything. I did use my Pocket Mod, and my Pocket Mod is amazingly handy. If you want to make your very own Pocket Mod, you go to pocketmod.com. They'll give you the instructions right over there for free. If you want to do something nice for my podcast, recommend it to your friends, okay? You enjoy this podcast, so why not spread the word and let other people enjoy it as well? Everybody is welcome. Remember, just like Kyle did for me for the episode number, I am always looking for you guys to do my work for me. So don't forget to send me questions and topics for the Podomatic. Watch every week on the forums and on Facebook for Listener Betrayal. And of course, if you've got some ideas for the upcoming episode numbers, for God's sake, get on them, because man, I'm getting tired of doing all that work. Research is hard. My contact info, mike@nerdprideradio.com, at nerdprideradio on Twitter, facebook.com/nerdprideradio. But to be completely honest, the very best way to talk to me is come sign up for my forums at, hopefully by tonight, nerdprideradio.com/nerds. Sign up there, send me a message. We will hang out together. We will become best friends in the world. We'll have fun. And now it is time for Listener Betrayal. Every week when I record, before I start the podcast, I go out to my my forums at nerdprideradio.com/forums, soon to be nerdprideradio.com/nerds, and I post up that I am recording. I also do the same thing on Facebook. And then, by the time I'm done recording, I come in here and I read off whatever you guys have said during the intervening hour or two. And starting with my website... Hold on, I have to tell them I'm done. Looks like I've got a few responses, which is cool. And they are from, hold on, page is refreshing. Any moment now, here it is. Sweet. All right, I see my brother's icon. Oh, and I see Akiva. All right, Akiva starts off. What is your desert island music list? Woof. That is a rough one. On my desert island music list, let me... go to, hold on. How many songs do I get on my desert island music list? Honestly, because there's lots of possibilities here, but I'm going to pull up on my phone. Let me go to my, my shortest playlist of my most favoritest songs. And not all of them are going to be, let's see, start radio, go to just, all right. I don't even know where to find the darn thing. Oh man. I am so bad at using this. This is a terrible, terrible music software. I should find something better. Hold on. Okay. All right. See there. There. I've got it. But this is tough because this is my top 100 songs, supposedly. This is my shortest playlist. These are my favorite 100 songs. If I've only got 100, here's what I'm listening to. But some of this, you know, it changes each time I update it. You know, every couple of months I'll come in here and I'll swap out a few songs because there's some of them that, oh, I forgot that song existed. And so I'll swap in a few songs by that artist and I'll listen to them for a little while. And then I swap them back out. But in here, there's a lot of Beastie Boys. I mean, look, I've got Intergalactic. I've got Brass Monkey. Let's see. Oh, Carolina Chocolate Drops. I love them. Little Margaret and what's the other one that they do that I'm not looking at it right here? But Hit 'Em Up Style. They do a remake of that in this old folk music style that is just really, really cool. Let's see. The Dropkick Murphys. I've got a few of theirs. Jonathan Colton. Always love Jonathan Colton. I don't know. There's a Mos Def. Man. Close. The only Mos Def song I have on here is Close Edge, which I adore. First heard it on the Dave Chappelle show, and just thought it was awesome. But there's even Super Bass from Nicki Minaj. That's not one that I would put in, you know, forever, but it's in here right now because I don't know. I was grooving on it for some reason. Let's see. There's even a couple of Your Favorite Martian. I've got Club Villain in here. That's the best one from Your Favorite Martian. Oh, Biebs and Her Moneymakers. Lots of ska music, I suppose, because I've got Biebs and Her Moneymakers. I've got Real Big Fish. Let's see. Do I have any Suburban Legend in here? I don't see it. Huh. Wow. Oh, Jack White. I got a lot of Jack White and White Stripes. Lloyd's Garage. I love Lloyd's Garage. Man, there's just so much. Oh, Little Green Bag. See, there's some older stuff. Louie Louie. I don't know why I have that in there. A couple of Scott Bradley songs from Postmodern Jukebox. Boy, I just got a lot of stuff. I don't know. It's a mix, and I wouldn't be able to say it. Look, it used to be that for a while I had a thing for albums that were good beginning to end because, you know, back before MP3s and iTunes and electronic music, electronically stored media. Everything was on CDs. And so I was always really excited by CDs that were good beginning to end. CDs that I could pop in, I could listen to the entire thing and know that I was going to enjoy almost every song. There's always at least one miss in there, but that I could enjoy almost the entire album. And that was, I had a Parliament album that was like that, that I could listen to everything off of Parliament and be thrilled to death with no matter what song came up. Beck's Mellow Gold was really good for that. R.E.M., which R.E.M. was it? I don't even remember which album it was. Oh, Document. R.E.M.'s Document was like that. I had listened to it enough times that you could play any song off of Document, and it would be awesome. And now I don't think I listen to any R.E.M. at all. I don't know. That's a really tough question. Depends on how many songs I get. I mean, honestly, if you need me to narrow it down to, you know, 20 songs, I could do that. But boy, it'd take me some time because, I don't know, I'd want to make sure everything's represented somewhere. So, let's see. Oh, next one is from my brother. Is this going to be the shortest time we've ever had before quitting Paranoia? No. No, it's not. We have had, a couple of them. Well, no, we've had three that we've quit, sadly. One of them was Possum Holler, which we played. I mean, you guys were literally just before the end. And then we switched over to Nerd Pride Radio from Animal Ball, and we wound up bailing on the last, you know. It wouldn't have taken us but another 2-3 weeks to finish that one off, and we bailed, which is too bad. Because that one was coming to a really cool conclusion, and I thought about, you know, just coming in with a summary post, but it felt kind of cheap to, because you guys hadn't actually figured out the ending on your own, and so it felt cheap to just give it to you. That one lasted a long time. Then the latest one that we quit on was actually probably the fastest one, because it was a great setup, and I don't remember why we bailed, but you guys were going into what was essentially a residential tower, a dormitory, and it was ultimately going to be some chemical or experimental disaster that looked for all the world like a zombie apocalypse, and you guys were going to have to figure your way through that one. And then we bailed on that. And now this one? No, this will not be the fastest time we've ever bailed. We may wind up bailing on it ultimately, but I hope not, because I'm really excited about it. It's not the simplest mission in the world. It's going to be super easy. So, I mean, you guys will have almost nothing to do. You guys will get through this in no time. So, let's see. Kyle then says, okay, so what if time isn't linear, but we only perceive it as such? What if, in reality, we're always perceiving all points of time simultaneously, but when we perceive any particular moment, it appears linear at that very moment, even though it isn't? Just because we're not aware of any particular moment that we are actually perceiving all moments, that doesn't mean we're not, okay? It just means we're limited to the contextual perception of it from that moment. To dig a little deeper, what if there's only one moment, and that moment is the one that you're perceiving right now, and everything else is just a reflection of a memory? Wait. Dude, wait. I am so high right now, man. All right, you're funny. I don't know. Because through all of that, all I could pick up is, well, yeah, but if even if that were the truth, if I can only perceive it this way, then I can only perceive it this way, and thus I must act like that is effectually, essentially the truth, at least for me. So I got nothing on that one, but dude, so high. All right. Kyle then says, the instant game plot generator spit out this gem as part of a larger game. Look for a rich scribe located in a Frankentech castle with 80,000 people. Who is the rich scribe? Why is he located in the penthouse of the Frankentech castle? And how many henchmen are you going to have to decimate to get to the top? Look, the Frankentech castle is going to be the Victorian era equivalent of a cyberpunk arcology. All right. It is going to be with 80,000 people in his Frankentech castle. Okay. What you have is a huge castle set in Victorian era technology, with your Frankenstein, style, you know, bodily humors and electrical power and this and that. But a very gothic sort of almost horror style game. And the castle is going to be this huge, monstrously gigantic building, that for whatever reason is now almost the entire world. That I don't know if, you know, this chunk of Earth has now broken off into another dimension, or, you know, it's floating in some sort of limbo or purgatory, this whole section of Earth should have fallen into hell, but something about your Frankentech, your technology, the scientist who runs the place has managed to keep this huge chunk of land aloft, and all the surrounding people have come together and they've built it up. What's remaining of all of the land is now built into the single monumental castle tower, that houses all of them. And from this, you know, they produce all the food that they need and everything else, and it's all self-contained, and they have to, again, use science to, or whatever the Victorian conception of science fiction is. They have to use that sort of technology in order to survive in this bizarre landscape. And the rich scribe is the person who is at the very top, who is potentially our mayor, potentially our king. That part I don't know. But how many henchmen are you going to have to decimate to get to the top? Well, not that many, not any more than a normal castle, because honestly, as you're working your way through the 300 floors of this castle, most of the people around are not henchmen so much as they're just peasants. They're just ordinary people. They're the cogs that make this huge machine keep turning. So you don't have to kill that many on the way to the top. But again, that depends on exactly who the rich scribe is, and that part I have not figured out. Well, rich scribe, he's probably the author who wrote this original story and somehow found himself trapped within his own story as he created this bizarre concept. He's writing the story. He's come up with this great idea of the castle, the land around it and this whole castle are supposed to be falling away into hell. And before they can be plunged into the fiery pit, something saves them and keeps it all aloft. And he's writing this wonderful story. Well, the people in the story, the Frankenstein, Dr. Frankenstein, if you will, whoever the Frankenstein hero is, or at least the mad doctor, comes up with a plan that they need a savior. And so they call upon God to protect them. And he uses his sciences to actually pull God physically into their world. And now the author has found himself trapped in his own story. And thus he maintains himself at the top of the penthouse. There you go. There. I sorted it out. I don't know if that makes a playable story as a game, but I'm sure we could work something out, right? Okay. That is it for my website. Now we go on over to Facebook. Sorry, I was distracted looking at Facebook. And here it is. All right, I am recording now. Let's tell everybody that I am done. And we'll see what everyone said. It looks like there is some lively conversation going on here. All right. First up is from Nellie And I think I've got everything visible here. So Nelly says, hey there, happy Monday. I hope you're well and all that. Do you like dexterity games? Jenga, Suspend, Jungle Speed. And what is your favorite? Mostly I don't play a lot of dexterity games, but I don't have a problem with them. I mean, Jenga is the only one I can think of off the top of my head that I've actually played. But you know, you do Jenga and you do, Kerplunk. My son at his post-prom party just had a giant game of Kerplunk. It's made out of chicken wire and these huge sticks and big old plastic balls. And they played the giant sized version of Kerplunk and they had the giant sized version of Jenga there and all sorts of stuff. And I think they're fun. I certainly enjoy them, but I don't play a lot of them. No. So, however, Kaz then replies to her and says, if there is a better first game at con than Jungle Speed, I would be sorely surprised. See, now I have to know what Jungle Speed is because I've never heard of it before. So this will be exciting for me. Next is Masters 8, and he says, wow, I was worried about you. Hope all is well. He said, I asked Angry Geek about this in his junk drawer topic, but he didn't answer it. Can you explain? Okay, Angry Geek, by the way, runs the Angry Geek Versus podcast along with his friend Milhouse. And they just had a junk drawer episode where they do kind of like when I do my fingertips, you just kind of spill out everything that's been building up and you need to cover stuff. Anyway, if you haven't checked out Angry Geeks Versus, go listen to their podcast. They are awesome. A lot of fun. And a friend of our cast. So really go give them your patronage. Can you explain? This is now Masters 8 again. Can you explain the appeal of movies like Anchorman and Step Brothers? I mean, really, I can't stand movies like that. No, I cannot explain their appeal. To me, Will Ferrell movies, Adam Sandler movies, and I know there will be some Will Ferrell fans who are really, really offended by the idea that I would lump him together with Adam Sandler, but this yelly screaming character stuff, it just doesn't appeal to me. Anchorman, these are ideas that are great for a character sketch. They're great for a Saturday Night Live bit. They're great for a 15-minute run. But once you stretch it out to a full-length movie, it just gets tiresome. And at least in my opinion. And so, wow, that guy must have a really huge penis if his car is that loud. Could you guys hear that? That was amazing. I watched Anchorman and I enjoyed the first half hour of it, 45 minutes of it. I mean, it was fun. It was cute. And then it just dragged on and on and on. And I didn't get it. Step Brothers, I didn't find any of Step Brothers funny. That whole thing was just a disappointment to me. So no, I cannot explain the appeal, although I can tell you that like Adam Sandler, the first Adam Sandler movie that you watch, when you're 15 years old or 12 or 18 or whatever it is, you get your first Adam Sandler movie. That first one at 15 is probably going to be really funny. All right. And for me, it was a little later than that. It was when I was in college and I watched, Happy Gilmore, and I found Happy Gilmore really entertaining. And then every Adam Sandler movie that comes after that is the exact same stuff. And it's just mindless. He's not even trying. And so I have the idea that when you see your first Adam Sandler movie, you find it funny, and then either you just keep going back for more, hoping you're going to recapture that magic, or hopefully you get smart after two or three and go, oh yeah, he's not funny anymore. I get it. Okay. And then you can move on because I don't get the appeal. All right. And then Kaz says, Paranoia, when? Okay. Tonight, tomorrow, I have 11 of the 12 characters are completely fleshed out and have been sent out to everybody. And I have one character left, and I can't even tell you who it's from. But I have one character left that I need to send out. And once I've got that one done, then the opening is pretty much already written. So tonight or tomorrow, tonight I do forums, nerdprideradio.com/nerds. That'll be my new forums. So tonight I do forums. Tomorrow I do Paranoia. I'm pretty sure. All right. But it's coming up. All right. And then Sarah Beth says, I'm in Arizona. Well, congratulations. And you know, How nice for Arizona. Flew down all secret-like to surprise my bestie. Her husband set everything up as a birthday present. What does this have to do with NPR, you ask? Well, I wasn't asking, but now I do. Turns out there is this thing here called Titan Missile Museum, where you go inside the missile silo and see decommissioned missiles. See the decommissioned missile. Yeah. It has just the one huge missile in it, right? Yeah, has guided tours by people who worked there. I know it's something you want to do with the kids and didn't know if you knew about it. No, I've never been to that one. I've never heard of it. Like I say, the only one we've ever been close to is the one up in the Black Hills, and that one had such a bizarre schedule that it was too far out in the boonies and the schedule was too weird, and there's just no way to go out and see it without committing yourself to a whole day of sitting around waiting for your turn to come up. And that seems like an awful lot of time spent for a 30-minute tour. That's all I'm saying. But yeah, I would love to head on down there and see that one. That would be spectacular. If I could get a missile silo tour with the kids, to actually go down and actually see the inside of it and not have to waste an entire day doing it. I mean, at least not for a 30-minute tour. I would waste an entire day if I could go in and just wander around at my leisure. That would be awesome. Wow, that sounds cool. All right. That's everything that's here. I am going to do a real quick check, though, because when there's this many responses and responses to responses in here, sometimes I overlook some of them. So if anyone said something here and I missed it, I'm not seeing it. So if I missed your post, I really, really apologize. I'll catch it next week. But otherwise, that's it. We are all done. This has been a happy episode. I'm so glad you guys showed up. I love every single one of you. This is wonderful. Like I say, I'll have my forums worked out. We'll start Paranoia. Things are going to keep going. I'll have a new episode next week. I'll see you guys then. Say goodnight, R2. Good night, everybody.